John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. I welcome Professor Russell Berman of the Hoover Institution. He teaches at Stanford University to help me understand a strange turn in the road for Germany, the modern powerhouse, banking powerhouse of the European Union, and the celebration of Angela Merkel, 16 years, the chancellor of all the Germans, including melting together parties that don't have a lot in common, but she has very carefully governed them as a collective these last 16 years until, I'm going to say, about Easter of 2021. Perhaps it was coming apart before that. Angela Merkel fell downstairs, and as of yet, she has not gotten up to lead the Germans to the end of her career as chancellor. But at the same time, I learned from Russell, there are unhappy voices. Wolfgang Reitzler, who is a business executive associated with the automobile industry, which is powerful in Germany, and the editorial leadership of Die Welt, the national newspaper right of center. Both of them are conjoined in not only doubting Angela Merkel's present circumstance, but arguing that Berlin, the centerpiece city of the German success since 1945 and certainly since the fall of the Berlin Wall, Berlin is a failed state. Okay, Russell, that's controversial enough. How would you manage to turn a glittering capital such as Berlin into a failed state in Angela Merkel's declining months? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Good to talk with you. Well, in this hard-hitting commentary by Wolfgang Reitzler, the German automobile executive, he really takes down the mayor of Berlin, Müller, but also Angela Merkel, the chancellor for now 20 years. Berlin has its own particular set of problems in terms of a crime and inefficiency and rundown infrastructure. But in many ways, Berlin, which is in the German system also a state, is a metaphor for Germany at large, which Reitzler points out is marked by over-administration by an inefficient bureaucracy that is under-digitized, that still works with fax machines, and tolerates all sorts of social problems across the country. Therefore, failed state after 20 years.
Is this the pandemic driving this, or would this have happened in any event because of these last years' unhappiness over Brexit?
All of the above. The pandemic has no doubt exacerbated the issues in Germany and in Europe as well. If we in the United States and most states have the feeling that we're pretty much coming out of this tunnel, any glance at the European press sees the opposite is operating there, and this has to do a lot with the mismanagement of the corona crisis by the European Union. The numbers are shooting up there while they're gradually sinking here. And Merkel stood strongly by the EU management or mismanagement of COVID. So this is what's brought it to a head. But she's been on shaky ground for a long time. Listeners may remember the 2015 refugee decision where she single-handedly abrogated the so-called Dublin Accord, the regime under which refugees coming to Europe would claim asylum in the first country which they set into. Instead, she said, no, they could all come to Germany, which is a country that can't be the first one you enter into, given the geography. And Germany was overwhelmed by more than a million refugees, primarily from Syria, but by no means only. This created political earthquake in Germany, and now for the first time since Weimar, there's a party in the Bundestag. There's a party in all of the state governments that is to the right of the Christian Democrats. That's the notorious AfD. For most of the history of West Germany, America's longstanding ally, you had a two-and-a-half party system, the center-right party, the center-left Social Democrats, and the small liberal party, which would move back and forth to make coalitions. Now you have a six-party system in the Bundestag, which makes for a much more unstable, Italian political world.
The German decision these last days has puzzled me about Nord Stream 2 and its entanglement with Russia. Is this part of the doubts of Angela Merkel as well, or is it popular to say that we're one Europe and we need to work together? How do the German people see this, Russell?
Yeah, Nord Stream 2 is a pipeline that goes from Russia directly to Germany, and it bypasses the Baltics, bypasses Poland, it goes under the sea. It also undercuts the role of Ukraine as a major conduit of Russian gas into Europe. So it faced a lot of opposition inside Germany to some extent, but across Europe. The Poles, not the current Polish government, the conservative one, but the previous one, the so-called good Poles, they attacked that Nord Stream 2 as the Hitler-Stalin pact because it undermined Polish security. The United States government under President Obama and then continuing under President Trump has consistently opposed Nord Stream 2. Angela Merkel has defended it stalwartly because she sees it in German business interest, and she sees it as an example of the typical German attitude that if you have an adversary, in this case Russia, the best thing to do is to do business with them to make them nicer rather than to alienate them. Therefore, Nord Stream 2 remains a big point of contention between American foreign policy and German foreign policy. I've been critical of Secretary Blinken, but so far he's been very strong in this and said that Nord Stream 2 cannot be allowed to go into operation. It's almost done. This is the issue. It's almost completed. The U.S. Congress has put sanctions on companies participating in this, and the Germans would like to see those sanctions eliminated. The United States has not indicated any intention to do so.
The criticism of Angela Merkel will end because she's leaving office. I've read that the Greens are regarded as powerful and acceptable to the German people. Is that possible, Russell?
Oh, sure. Yes. I mean, the right now the Christian Democrats are polling in the high 20s. The Greens are polling in the low high 20s, around 26%. It's possible that the Christian Democrats are the biggest bloc in the next Bundestag, although I think, you know, without Merkel, without the bonus of the popularity associated with her, with some substitute for Merkel coming in, it's going to be hard for them, and they may go the way of the Social Democrats, the other historically large party that is now down in the teens. The Greens are likely to be, if not the strongest and the second strongest party, they will very, very likely be part of a coalition government.
Right.
The question is, will it be the center-right Christian Democrats with the Greens? You know, that would not be great for the United States, but probably livable. Or will you have a left coalition, which would be the Social Democrats, the Greens, and the far left party, which is the heir to the Communist Party of East Germany? That's not impossible, and that would make the whole question of do we keep troops in Germany rather moot.
Overregulated normalcy is the charge by the distinguished Mr. Reitzler. Overregulated normalcy, does that describe the Greens? Is the future the same as the present for the German people?
The Greens are likely to impose greater regulation in the name of their version of a Green New Deal. The party has moved considerably to the left. It began as a left protest party, but for the middle of its career, it seemed to thrive, trying to pick up support in the center. But in recent years, it has been moving to the left, also ideologically, also in the sense of identity politics and cancel culture.
Russell Berman of the Hoover Institution teaches at Stanford University, writing most recently at Telescope about the failed state of Berlin. There's a headline. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.